Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Welcome back. I'm Father Matt Malone, editor-in-chief of America Magazine. I'm joined by Colleen Dully and Zach Davis, who are on the editorial staff of America. We're talking about the news and the views at americamagazine.org this week. And you can find them all at americamagazine.org/Sirius. We had a great piece by our contributing writer, Eve Tushnet, because, you know, we've often heard it proclaimed at Mass, the scripture, you know, I was imprisoned and you visited me, right? We've heard it said, visit the imprisoned. But what about the people who work there? What about their guards? That's the question that Eve asked and answered in this really fine article for America, and she joins us on the line now. Hello, Eve.
Hi, hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Great. So tell us about this article. What prompted your interest in it? And then for our listeners who haven't read it, what did you have to say about the topic?
Yeah, so I actually don't remember what the first thing was that prompted me to do this, but I do. At a certain point, I did notice the thing that I say toward the beginning of the article about the scriptural account of the crucifixion and the way that two of the people who come to Christ to convert while Jesus is on the cross are the other prisoner being executed next to him, who Jesus promises, you will be with me this day in paradise, but also the centurion who is guarding them, who's there to basically make sure these people are tortured to death, who also, in fact, recognizes who Jesus is and proclaims him. And I sort of noticed that we did, as you say, we hear a lot, some of us, you know, depending on where you are, you may hear a lot about the need to visit prisoners and to care for prisoners and to kind of honor their humanity. But that other person in the Gospels, the centurion, is a voice that we don't really hear as much, or we don't say, well, what's the contemporary equivalent of that? Who are those people and where are they? For a while, I was trying to find out what ministry there was to corrections officers, to people working in the prison system, and it was really hard to find, and that was sort of what made me want to do a piece, because it seemed like there was this whole population of people out there who it was really hard. If I was working there and I sat down and Googled, you know, I'm Catholic and corrections officer, what's out there for me? It would be very hard to find something that was really directed toward your needs and that was run by people who understood what you were going through.
And Eve, what are some of the needs that corrections officers have?
Yeah, there are a few that came up again and again every time I talked to people. One huge thing is just the feeling of isolation, of not having anyone that you can talk to or trust. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But it leads to people feeling like anything bad that happens at work, whether it's something bad that happens to them or something they end up doing to another person that they don't feel right about or something that they witness, or just the like constant pressure of being around people who do not want you to be there and who often will treat you really badly, that really gets to people, and yet that I heard again and again that people felt they had no one to talk to.
I was struck by one example in your piece of someone who didn't even feel like they could talk to their spouse about mm-hmm. the things they were experiencing at work. Why do you think that is?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think some of it is that there's in order to work in a very stressful environment, you kind of compartmentalize. You leave work at work, and you try to create a self that isn't at work, and you try to like switch into that self when you leave, but unsurprisingly, right, like it's really hard to do that and doesn't totally work for people.
Right.
Well, it really struck me when I saw this piece, because, you know, I know a lot of folks who work as chaplains, and if they work, you know, if they work at a hospital, they'll say, you know, the surprising thing is so much of my ministry is to the doctors and to the nurses and
right.
to the staff. Or if they work on a cruise ship, they'll say, you know, I mean, mostly I say Mass for the people who work in the kitchen or who, you know, clean the rooms and stuff. I don't hear people say that about this area of work.
Yeah, well, and there are some reasons for that. One guy that I talked to made the point that if you're working in the prison, if you're staff of any kind, you are often trained not to fraternize with the volunteers who come in, including the chaplains, because they also are considered potentially a security risk. And people told me stories about things like finding weapons hidden in Bibles. It's a job where you're trained to look for the reasons someone might not be trustworthy.
Right.
And so that makes it difficult, even with people who are coming into the prison to serve. On the other hand, I do think there's also people, some of the people I talked to pointed out, that there's often a kind of identification of the corrections officers with the prison system, and that they're treated as if they're responsible for every bad thing that the prison system does, instead of, you know, these are people we're also here to serve and to help.
And does that represent a kind of a cultural shift in the last few years? Because I remember older Jesuit priests who worked as prison chaplains saying that, you know, back in the day, as it were, you would visit prisoners, but you also had a relationship with the staff, with the guards. You trusted each other, and you trusted that there was that you were all working toward the same goal, as it were. And now maybe that was an idealized version of history, but does that more adversarial element in their relationship, is that a relatively recent thing?
I don't really know. anecdotally, of the relatively small number of people I talked to, nobody mentioned this, including people who had been working in the system for many decades. No one kind of brought up the idea of a change in culture, but I mean, people did sometimes talk about the training as that COs go through as a place where some of the attitudes of mistrust and dehumanization, in some cases, depending on what, you know, where you are, what you do, can be inculcated. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of that had changed, but I just don't know. And people didn't raise that as a possibility.
You know, there is this sort of paradox. On the one hand, people who, you know, I think work in law enforcement in general are some of the most valorized mm-hmm. people in this country. On the other hand, you know, they're also the same people who have, you know, very high suicide rates, very high mm-hmm. divorce rates, in our suffering, and also are very likely to report that they work in a thankless job, which, you know, from the public sphere, you know, people in law enforcement are getting thanked all the time. What do you think's going on there?
Well, so there's a few things. One, I think corrections officers are in a somewhat different position. I don't think they're nearly as kind of lauded. There aren't TV shows, right, on every channel about the inner lives of corrections officers. But there's also a thing, you know, a lot of people who have served in the military are kind of cynical about the whole thanks for your service thing, mm-hmm. because it's being thanked by people who don't really know or want to know what that service was actually like for them. And I think that there's definitely an element of that as well. Of one of the things that came up many times in interviews that I did with people is that people don't know what their work lives are really like. People don't know what the stresses are or what the moral choices are that they're being asked to make. And so people are relating to them almost like a false image that they have of what being a prison guard is like, as opposed to the actual experiences of the officers.
So Eve, did you get to talk to some people who are ministering to corrections officers? Like what is available to them?
Yeah, so there's a few different things. I talked to some chaplains who do also, as you guys said, serve the officers and the staff. I also talked to a guy who works for a Peace Officers Fellowship. There's a few of these, which are kind of support groups generally. And then I talked to a few people from the group Desert Waters, which offers workshops and seeks to kind of help people heal from their experiences if they're really suffering, if they're in need of that. And that's a place where when I asked people where would you send someone who was really hurting in this work, they would recommend Desert Waters also.
That's it. You know, I would also say, just getting back to what you were saying about the different ways in which corrections officers are viewed, say, from a beat cop. You know, I was just running through my head, of cultural depictions of corrections officers or prison guards, I suppose, as they're more colloquially known, they're very rarely the protagonist, right? Usually it's the prisoner in some form or another, whether they're a mobster or whatever, is the protagonist, and the guard is the antagonist, right? And at usually involved in some level of corruption, you know. And so you know, there's no blue bloods, right, for prison guards, right?
Right. I was like struck in the piece reading that there's not really any like accountability that's offered to corrections officers. You know, in training, you quote someone that says, if you know, not to worry about if you accidentally break an arm or accidentally kill somebody because inmates are replaceable. Mm-hmm. And when you're told that in training, and maybe you right. do accidentally do something that you're not proud of, and you've got, you know, no one from your boss right. isn't going to talk to you about it. Your family's not going to talk to you about it. There's no chaplain that's going to talk to you about it. That eats at a person's soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because not holding someone accountable is another way of saying we don't care about you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So you gave some pretty practical insights toward the end of this piece, which is in the latest issue of America, and you can find it at americamagazine.org/serious. Five things we should be thinking about when we're thinking about this issue. You want to highlight a couple of them, Eve?
Sure. I think the biggest one kind of was really just to listen first, and a lot of the other kind of specific points will come out if you really listen to where people are coming from and don't make assumptions about what they feel or think. One point that came up a few times was the possibility of offering practical help. There's, you know, one guy made the point that there are a lot of single moms who work in prisons and their kids need care. And if the church could provide that, that would be a way of creating a trusted space, a place where they knew that they could be heard. And you know, and one point that came up a few times was that people's experiences of corrections work wildly vary. I talked to two women who had worked at the same time in the same prison who talk about it in totally different terms. And an interesting thing about that is that both of them even went into kind of the helping professions immediately out of corrections. And so they have, I think, somewhat similar mindsets, and yet you would not be able to predict what the second woman would say about her experiences just from having heard the first woman. So a kind of humility and a willingness to know what you don't know.
And I listening, I think, was, as you mentioned, probably the most important. As you mentioned in this piece, the number of folks who said, I just don't feel heard.
Yeah.
Eve, I read in the, I think it was New York Times last week, it was like the front page, that in prisons all across the country, you have support staff being called into service as correctional officers or you know, substitute guards. And so there's this also sense of overwork and understaffing. You mentioned you know, spending long days outside in the heat is not something that it's a justice issue for the prisoners, but also for the guards. Did you get that sense that there was a lot of labor concerns?
Definitely. I think people do feel overwhelmed by the work that they're being asked to do, by the hours they're being asked to work, and kind of the conditions under which that happens. Yeah.
Well, the piece is called You Have Heard It Said, Visit the Imprisoned, But What About Their Guards? By Eve Tushnet, and it is in the June 11th issue of America Magazine. Eve, it's a great piece. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much.
So, you have been listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. You can find everything that we're talking about today at americamagazine.org/Sirius. Where you can also see the list of 48 awards that we won this year at the Catholic Press Association, the most in America's 110-year history. I have to say this every hour, just to, instead of pinching myself, this is what
right.
I do, yeah. Forgive my boast, but I'm proud in the Lord, I'd like
That's
to
right.
think. I'd like to think. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Colleen Dully and Zach Davis, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.